This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How the Federal Reserve is trying to keep Main Street afloat. I'm David Brancaccio. Money, money for sale. Come get your nice hot money. The Federal Reserve can't phrase it quite that way because central bankers usually keep it businesslike. But the fact remains that in this COVID emergency, the Fed has a special pile of money to lend to small and medium-sized businesses, yet these loans, initially at least, did not go flying off the shelves. Eric Rosengren is working on this. He's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Welcome.
Nice to be with you this morning.
I wanted to ask you about the Fed's Main Street lending program, which you administer, small to medium-sized businesses that were not struggling before the pandemic could get what should be easy loans, easy money. You've had some takers, but they're not really beating down the door to get the dough on offer. I mean, should I call the program a bust?
No, I don't think so at all. So we opened in the first week of July. We had very little business in the first 2 weeks, but we're now seeing fairly substantial number of loans coming in. So we have over $400 million in loans that have been committed or settled. And we have over almost $900 million in loans that are in our portal. You have to expect this is going to take much longer than, for example, some of the facilities run by the New York Fed, where you go out and purchase securities in markets, which can be done very quickly and efficiently. Because the loans are bespoke, which means that they're very particular to the borrower and the lender, it just takes more time. Think of it in terms of your mortgage. It's a very standard product, but you don't close your mortgage right away. It takes 6 to 8 weeks. And these are much more complicated loan agreements than a mortgage.
It's just hard for businesses, right? I mean, many really need the money, but they're also facing such uncertainty. They want to know that they have a decent chance of paying it back. And with that uncertainty, that's got to cause some hesitancy.
Yes, it's definitely a loan. And so the bank is doing the underwriting. And what we're doing is taking a lot of the risk from the bank because we're holding the loan on our books for 95% of the loan. But it is a loan. You have to be able to pay it back. For many small businesses, they're not looking for more debt. They're looking for something more like the PPP program. That would take an act of Congress and the president to actually do something that's much more of a grant program rather than a loan program.
Early in the pandemic, there was a sense that we can lock down to help public health or we can stay open, in some cases reopen, to help the economy, public health or the economy. We got to choose. Here we are mid-August. Is that how you see it?
That's not how I see it. I think that was a false trade-off, to be honest. You can see now in Europe where they had a much stiffer lockdown and where they delayed the opening, that they're now in a position where their economy is in many respects doing better than the United States. And the reason for that is that one of the things holding back the economy were the forced shutdowns. But the other thing was just personal behavior, that people didn't want to take personal risk by going to a store, a restaurant, or a hotel. We also see that pattern when we look across states. So New England was shut down quite significantly earlier in March and April, but now are recovering much better than the rest of the country. And those parts of the country that opened up earlier are now seeing much less spending and much less mobility.
Eric Rosengren is president of the Boston Federal Reserve, which, among many other things, oversees the Fed's Main Street lending program. Dr. Rosengren, thank you.
Nice talking with you.
Those loans for businesses in good standing before pandemic, they were just talking about minimum of $250,000 with repayment over 5 years. Nonprofits can get those as well. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up 0.3%. Here, the Dow future is up 73 points, 0.3%. The NASDAQ future also up in a similar range. The S&P future is up 0.2%. Microsoft could be buying the super short video platform TikTok. Twitter is interested as well. Today, the Financial Times is reporting the database company Oracle is also exploring the idea. This after President Trump ordered the Chinese company that owns TikTok to divest amid U.S. concerns that TikTok fails to safeguard the data it collects. TikTok's owner ByteDance might sell its U.S., Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand operation only. As the political and budget battle over funding and reorganizing the U.S. Postal Service continues, many business owners are among the many watching closely. The small ones, the post office plays a big role in the supply chains of smaller businesses. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Just this week, Brianne Gilliam mailed out the first 17 packages for her new online beauty product business called Lavish Beauty Essentials in East Lansing, Michigan. Gilliam says the Postal Service was cheaper than other options.
Other carriers would have been more than double what I'm getting at USPS.
In 2019, the Postal Service reported 70% of businesses with fewer than 10 employees used the service within the last 6 months. Gilliam says that for her new business,
it's really important that I have a reliable shipping service because I'm starting from scratch. I'm still trying to build a reputation.
Businesses don't only use the USPS to ship products. Josh Heisengay runs a design agency in Seattle. He mails drafts to clients and uses the Postal Service to pay vendors.
We write a check, put a stamp on the envelope, and we drop it in the mail.
And that's convenient, he says, because there's a mailbox right near his office. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in what Citigroup calls a clerical error, and I would add of historic proportions, the bank erroneously wired $900 million to creditors owed money by Revlon. Now, at least one of the hedge funds that got the money is not inclined to give it back, and Citibank is suing. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.